Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Modiwa Gabaza, and for today, we're going to be talking about something that has been spoken about, quite a bit in this economy, and that is the culture of savings, in South Africa. And to make sense of it all, we are joined in studio today by Baba Alua Nonkenge, who is the head of retail investments over at Nedbank. And we're just going to be getting a little bit of insight into, what's been going on, from that point of view. They recently, did a little bit of research around their segment, Nedbank segment tracker, revealing that South Africans still want to positively change their financial situation through saving and investment, despite the South African economic outlook, with gross savings averaging 14.6% of GDP since 2010 compared to the world average of 26.8%. So it's going to be a very great discussion, just understanding what's going on in the world of savings, particularly in the South African context. Babalo, greetings to you today.
Morning. Thanks for having us.
I think where I want to start for today, you and I were talking just before we started recording, to say there's a lot to be said about South Africans' investment culture. And, we've also spoken about, one of the highlights from your segment tracker is the fact that, people do want to save a little bit more, in South Africa. I don't think that's unique to South Africa even. It's just a normal thing. Everyone wants to be able to have something. Maybe as a starting off point, right? Are we complicating this conversation around savings in South Africa, do you think?
I think we need to maybe be a little bit compassionate to the average South African. Mm. The truth of the matter is that the cost of living has gone up significantly. Mm. The basket of goods that people buy and feed their families has significantly increased without necessarily an increase in the amount of salary that people are earning. Mm. And so if you think about that, it's becoming harder, or some might even say a little bit of a luxury, to be able to put some money away, either for a financial goal or a rainy day aside, just because of how expensive things have become. And so that is what South Africans are coping with, or trying to cope with, while trying to obviously feed their family, something that you can't exactly postpone. Mm. So that is the complication, the seemingly out of control rate of inflation. Mm. Is what is hitting people the most. But definitely, I think that the desire is there. People do want to put something away for the future, for their children and for their different personal and financial goals.
If we're going to be practical about what's going on, because I think we've already started off on that point, and the practicality of everyday life is that things are expensive, and that people are finding it harder and harder to have something that they can put away. Inflation, all of this stuff is already eating away at people's lives. And it's the immediacy that is probably the biggest tension that we have to deal with, right? The fact that as much, that you must be able to save, but life is expensive and you must be able to continue putting food on the table, roof over your head. On a practical day-to-day level, what do you think are just practical ways that people can move forward? Because there are still big ticket items that need to be spent on. I'm thinking of simple things like school fees, for example, that people have to spend money on. That type of thing still needs to happen in a situation where your one rand is going, much less than, what it did before.
So we just need to find smarter ways. And often because we've done certain things the same way for a long time, we think that we are in a corner where probably we might not be. Mm. For example, one might think, I need to get from point A to B. That's transport. But you don't necessarily need the biggest car with the biggest petrol consumption. But do we view that a person who might want to downgrade to a smaller car, do we view that person as kind of having come down, life is coming down hard on them? Or do we see that person as a person with actually a sense of agency that says that in recognition of the fact that I want to get from point A to B, a smaller car that uses much less petrol can do the same job that my bigger car can? Or do we stigmatize such a person? A second example is that if you tend to buy your vegetables all organic, if you are in a in an urban center, for example, like Johannesburg, and you had been used to spending your money buying that top-end fresh vegetables or organic or imported wild salmon at Jackson's, you know, when it now, when you see the impact of how expensive things are and keeping in mind your financial goals, will it be too big an ask to ask you to swap shops and perhaps buy tuna, for example, as a substitute, and buy it at a place like a bulk retailer, for example, like a Makro, because there they tend to buy, they tend to be items that can be bought at a bulk, which works out much cheaper than what your specialty shops cost. So things like that, I think we need to start viewing with a different eye than to say, what are people going to say? People are going to look down on us, but we need to see those as actually viable means to create a little bit of extra savings that we can put in our back pocket. Because the matter of saving, I think we should view as thanking yourself. You should always be in a position as you wake up to go work and earn a salary. You know, you work hard. So yes, it's a privilege to be able to cover your bills, but you also need the ability to thank yourself. And that's what putting money away and saving or investing it gives you. Yes, things like food and you know, different living costs do eat away at that. We've already said that the inflation is quite high, but there can be smart ways to ensure that you still have the ability to thank yourself. We just need to be a lot more creative.
I like the what you call this, that creative aspect and also being smarter. And I wanted to, you know, maybe drill down just a little bit deeper before we move on into that. I remember when I was growing up, there was a lot of things. I think, you know, to for lack of some better words, I think my parents were some real G's, because there was a lot of things that they just didn't see the need for. So, for example, we never had birthday parties, right? They didn't see the need for something like that. They were the type of people that grew their own, to the earlier point, they grew their own vegetables.
Yeah.
And they also went a step further as well. There were chickens in the mix as well. All of that was just as a way to reduce, you know, the type of spending that they normally would in a grocery shop, you know, on, you know, those types of items.
Yes.
I do think, though, that it does help to some extent that I grew up in a very small town that was out of the way. And I wanted to get, you know, I guess, your sense, because there's a mindset aspect to this. What do you think plays more on people's ability to make those smart decisions? Because there's external pressure of, I don't want to be seen as a person who's, you know, fallen on hard times. But I also feel like there's an element of you yourself. You think, I am the person who is eating imported salmon and what. I, for myself, cannot downgrade what, you know, for myself. So there's an, so you've got the internal aspect and then there's the external aspect. In South Africa, what do you think is playing more on people's ability to make those smart and practical decisions in their lives?
I mean, upbringing definitely comes to it. I think your parents are similar to a large extent to a lot of South African parents and grandparents, for those that were raised by grandparents. And remember, the influence of social media 10, 20 years ago was not as near to what it is today. So which introduces those external pressures. But I think we have the opportunity or the advantage of having educational outlets even in social media. So I know a lot of people maybe use social media for current affairs or popular culture, but there's actually a lot of education, particularly around personal finances. There's a lot more people sharing how at the start of the year, they are putting X amount of money aside every week. There are lots of savings challenges that you don't even need to belong to a group. You know, there are so many templates that are free that people share randomly on the interwebs as with even strangers that they've never met, where you can even use your own bank account and have almost like a virtual accountability partner. So as much as external factors such as social media can be seen to add to the pressures, but I think we also need to recognize the power, the positive, what I call positive peer pressure, and how people are educating themselves to save for different goals and sharing common mistakes. You know, that's one thing that I've also observed. People talk about what they wish they knew when they started working, what financial pitfalls they would have avoided. And the resurgence, for example, of practices such as lay-by, people are sharing a lot more openly that they are rather buying things via lay-by than using hire purchase. And so all of those, I'm saying, for someone who is genuinely interested in the ability to thank themselves first by putting away money towards, be it a holiday, be it a child's school fees, be it a new car, there is definitely a lot, if you don't have it by way of parents like you were telling us, who had these practices around being frugal and putting money aside, there's definitely a lot in popular media and in social media that can contribute to positive peer pressure and thereby giving us a positive culture of saving.
Yeah, I completely see and agree with you on that point. And I wanted to maybe turn it to, I guess, a Nedbank, point of view to then understand. You guys are one of the biggest banks, in the country. I guess either in your job or, related activities, because we know that a bank like Nedbank is large. But in your area, what are some of the efforts that are being taken to actually encourage people to be more practical about their savings? Because I think in certain cases, some people might not even think of some of the things that you've spoken about as even an option, right? Someone might even not even know that if they were to grow their own vegetables, if we're still using that example, they might see it as something small, right? Not knowing that actually over a couple of months or even a year, it's actually a big, savings. Like, what are some of the initiatives that are being taken, either to encourage savings or to at least educate people about what's possible if you just take a more creative and smart approach like what you're advocating for?
I think the first is around just our products.
Yeah.
That our products, for example, don't require you to be classified as wealthy. And somebody with an amount of 500 rands, somebody very, very soon in the next, before 2 months is up, you will be able to save in one of our accounts however much you have. So whether you have 10 rands, whether you have 100 rands, whether you have 1,000 rands, you'll be able to put money away. You'll be able to set up recurring payments so that you can have funds debited from your Nedbank transactional account into a savings or investment account of your choice, which means that it helps you if you forget to transfer funds between the two accounts. It's almost like that that first payment after your bills are paid, that next payment will then be the amount that you are thanking yourself or putting away as savings. So the ability to have the functionalities such as recurring payments to help with the ease of putting money away. And some of our accounts actually, will help you to resist the temptation of using that those funds, in that you don't necessarily get, you won't necessarily be forced to have a card with the new account that we'll be launching, because you will be able to open that account, you'll be able to see it on the app, and you will be able to put money as much or as often as what you want to. So those are some of the initiatives to say, whether you have 100 rands, whether you have 10 rands, you have the same ability to save and the same ability to create recurring payments to put money away as somebody maybe who has tens of thousands of rands. So there's no in the functionality of our products, there's no distinguisher between those who have a lot of money and those that have maybe not so much money, because savings is like a muscle that we understand that everybody needs to work and grow, and a habit to develop, because with the small bits that you put away today, actually in 12 months' time, in 24 months' time, that actually, with the effect of compound interest, that grows quite healthily and helps you reach your financial goals.
And are you able to give us a sense of what costs tend to look like? Because I know that from a consumer, a normal person point of view, that always tends to be one of the, I don't know what word I can use, misgivings, or one of the points of resistance when it comes to bank products in general. People are worried about fees and, you know, all that type of thing. But if someone can come in at a small amount, like what you're saying, you know, what are they looking at in terms of, I guess, the fee considerations?
So fees, the consideration there is suitability for the purpose that you want to use it for. And I think in my experience, sometimes people take up a certain type of account which is intended to keep funds saved, and then they want to use the same account to transact and perhaps swipe and perhaps do other day-to-day transacting activities. So in that case, you may find that the person who is using an account that is not intended for everyday transacting might find themselves in a position where that account will cost them more than a person who uses the same account correctly for the purpose of saving. So fees are always related, or how can I say, the type of account that you open, you must be sure that you are using it for the purpose that it's intended for. Otherwise, it's always going to cost you more. But there are a number of different accounts for different terms of savings. So you can save up to 60 months. You can save up to 30 days. You can even have, currently we've got an account where you need only 24 hours notice, which actually can earn you quite a healthy interest rate. And those accounts are designed to keep your savings for those 10 years. And therefore, if you use them as they are intended, they will actually cost you very, very little, close to nothing to open and make use of those accounts. However, if those accounts are misused or not used correctly for the purpose that's intended, that's where you might start seeing some fees that people would be concerned about.
Yeah, no, it's true. I have noticed, you know, for myself, in using certain types of accounts, especially savings ones, they sort of tell you, you know, give us 30 days notice before you we can put the money into your account and stuff like that, and you almost get a sense that. And if you want it immediately, there's penalties. You almost get the sense that it's like a carrot and a stick situation, where they're trying to get you to hold off on, you know, spending whatever that money is.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, it's now July. In December, you know that you want to have a trip somewhere. And so the amount that you are saving for that trip should not reside in the same type of account as where your day-to-day expenses must be paid for, your petrol, etc. And so it's just about organizing and kind of labeling and you can do this on the app, sort of labeling your different accounts or your different pockets for the purposes that you you are going to make use of those funds for, if that makes sense. And so for the purposes of that Cape Town trip, definitely you will find better value in a 6-month type of fixed account where you must give notice. But don't try to use that same account if, for example, you know that you want to keep funds available for an emergency, for in case your tire bursts, for example. So that is a different pocket that is that you should label differently. And so you must match the account type that you use or the investment vehicle that you use to the goal for which that account is for. Because that will also, that goes back to the suitability thing that I was talking about. That then, because you will be using the different accounts for purposes which are aligned in terms of not just your goal, but the required amount of time, because the longer you leave money in some of these accounts, the higher the interest that gets paid out. And so if you don't need, say, a high interest rate and you just want your cash to be preserved so that it's available, for example, in the case of a tire burst, then you should use a suitable account and not lock your funds away for a long time.
Maybe that's where we can end off and land today's discussion. Is, you know, you've, as someone who's an who's got experience in the sector, typically, from what you've seen, are South Africans splitting up their money into different buckets, like what you're saying, or do they just have a transaction account? You know, I know that many of the banks will have like a savings portion and all that. Are people even making use of those things, or is everything just residing in this one account and it just goes in and out? Versus, you know, what are some of the buckets that a person, you know, should have ideally?
So ideally, we should all be thinking about retirement. Whether that's going to be in 10, 20 years' time, we should be thinking about retirement. And there are different types of products and some that come through your employer, pension, provident funds, retirement annuities. So that you can call the super long term. Anything that is going to be 8, 10 years plus. That's the super long term. And then a lot of us have children and school fees are a very big theme in many households' lives. And what some people may not know is that for certain schools actually encourage parents to pay upfront, and there are some discounts. And so that is something that can be very easily saved up for within a period of, say, 12 months. And so that then cannot be invested in the same type of products as the super long term that I've just described, the 8 to 10 year horizons. Perhaps then there is a significant birthday coming up, and a bucket list item like such as a cruise that, you know, in 3 years' time, you want to take maybe a trip to the Kruger. Again, that's a different pot of money than the super long term or the annual 12 months. So you can classify that as the 2 to 3 year goal. And so I'm trying to say, in, there can be a 1 year horizon, 3 year horizon, 5 year horizon, and 10 plus because of the fact that these goals are not the same, meaning that the amount of interest that you can potentially earn for the different amounts saved also will vary, and the type of investment accounts, therefore, that one should make use of will also be different because of the time horizons. And so there is room for improvement, and I think there is definitely room also for continuing education, because some people will ask the question of what's the best investment that I should put my money on. And the answer is different, Mudiwa, from my goals to your goals are not the same. I might only be currently looking at at only the one-year horizon. That doesn't mean that perhaps at a future date, I should not think of the super long-term horizon, the 10 years plus. Mm. The answer is informed and is as unique as each individual's goals. Mm. And so there is no blanket statement that we can offer and say, this is the answer for absolutely each and every person. But it's always good practice to have money for an emergency because tires can burst at any time.
Yeah.
It's always back to the principle of thanking yourself. It's always good to put money away for a goal, something that will make it meaningful and something that will give you almost an incentive to save even more, something that you're doing for yourself over and above the bills. And then thirdly, it's always a good idea to have a super long-term goal.
Yeah.
Because people are tending to live longer these days. And therefore, we should not think that retirement is something that's never going to roll around.
Mm.
Because before you know it, you know, you won't be as young. We won't be as young as what we are. And we will need to make sure that we've provided adequately for ourselves for those golden years.
Excellent. And that's where we end off for today. It has been a really great discussion just talking to the Nedbank team around what's going on in the world of savings. I would say that the two big lessons that are coming out from everything that is being said is that, you know, firstly, there are some mindsets that need to be changed, you know, around the use of money, you know, more specifically, being a little bit more smart and creative with how people are spending their money out there. A couple of the examples that were given by Babalwa earlier on is, you know, simple things like saving on a grocery bill, you know, and simple things like being able to, you know, decide that you're going to thank yourself, right? That was something she kept talking about. And by thanking yourself, it's having something that's, you know, on the side, and that's for you. Also matching up, you know, certain lifestyle decisions. Do you always need the biggest car? I think that's the one that she gave earlier on. Or are you able to use something smaller, something more practical, but that still achieves the same purpose down the line? And, you know, these are all things that feed into it. I think she said that your upbringing tends to inform quite a bit, you know, of a person's mindsets when it comes to, you know, money and the use of that. And then obviously, in the tail end of the discussion was talking about, you know, how people can be saving on a practical level. And one of the things that she talks about is, you know, suitability between different types of savings and investment products, and also what your goals are going to be, right? You must have different goals in mind. They don't all need to be in place, but over time, it's good to, I think the one she advocates for is the super long-term goal, but even before that, their medium-term goals, 3 to 5 year goals, 1 year goals, and you can't necessarily, you know, save in the same way, you know, for all of them. They, you know, there's different types of investment products, different rates of interest that you can get for all of these things, and you know, just matching these things up will, you know, help you in the long term, and it also save you possibly from, you know, incurring high fees because you are, you know, transacting with the appropriate, you know, accounts along the way. So that's been it. It has been a really great discussion. And, you know, I think the last one, you know, is to just highlight the fact that, you know, in the survey by Nedbank, it was revealed that nearly all bank responders have a basic savings account, with the 46% owning notice accounts and 42% fixed deposit. Notably, there is a lower uptake for more structured long-term savings and investments accounts. Furthermore, 18% of respondents have a retirement annuity or a provident fund, and 21% hold unit trusts. This shows that South Africans are interested in saving and investment. So that's where we end off. It has been a really, you know, great discussion today. And we were talking to Babalwa Nonkenge, who is head of retail investments over at Nedbank. Babalwa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.